Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is August 4th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, this is the first episode of the new season, so there's a bit we have to catch up on regarding stuff going around the entire NFL, and then, of course, we're going to be diving into things regarding the Miami Dolphins specifically, because this is a Dolphins-focused podcast. So to start it off, we're actually going to be talking about the Dolphins, and we have to talk a little bit about the quarterback competition. Now, I did do a segment for Dolphins Talk, so if you listen to that, a lot of these points are going to sound familiar. This is a competition going on with the Dolphins between quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick. Of course, he's the journeyman, the guy with these outstanding performances and then these downright bad ones. And then you have Josh Rosen, a guy who was a rookie last year, first round pick for the Cardinals, and ended up having a pretty poor year in his rookie season. A lot of things weren't going for him in terms of situational stuff on that team, but he did do pretty bad, so that can't be downplayed either. So this is a competition between the two. Initially, it was being reported. You saw all the reports. Ryan Fitzpatrick's killing it. Omar Kelly was saying that Josh Rosen just doesn't have it. Give it up. You know, he just doesn't have it. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's the man. And everyone, it just seemed to be a lock. And that's how people were treating it. And that was one thing that I was scared about when it came to getting Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because the Dolphins fan base is really deprived of good quarterback play. And I know what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He's a guy who could put up the huge numbers. If you look back to last season, first game, 400 yards, four touchdowns. Second game, 400 yards, four touchdowns. Third game, 400 yards, three touchdowns. That has not been seen in the Dolphins organization since Dan Marino. So it was scaring me because everyone knew, even though he was putting up those huge numbers, that wasn't the guy you were getting. Even the Tampa Bay Bucks organization knew that Ryan Fitzpatrick wasn't it. They were still keeping Jameis Winston there. And, you know, I had friends talking to me like, oh, I'm going to drop Matt Ryan from my team and I'm going to pick up Fitzpatrick. And I'm just like, okay, sure, go ahead and do that. Let's see how that works out for you. Because everybody knows that that is not numbers that Ryan Fitzpatrick can sustain. So I was scared that he comes to Miami, he puts up those same kind of numbers, and people just become obsessed with him. And it gets to the point where even if he starts doing poorly, which eventually he shows that he will do, then the Dolphins instead kind of cling to him and instead of giving Josh Rosen the opportunity, whereas other teams, you know, the second Fitzpatrick starts to do bad, they bring in their other guy because they know that's just what he does. He's a gunslinger. He'll throw it up. He'll be really entertaining, but he will make these absolutely horrendous decisions that will completely eliminate any chance for your team to win. That is just what Ryan Fitzpatrick is. He has proved that throughout his career. Now, I don't want to completely eliminate the possibility of him having a good season and being the starter for a whole season. I don't think it'll happen, but I don't want to completely say there's no chance. But this is a journeyman. He's been in the NFL for a long time, and this is just what he has shown to be. So I really think it's too late for him to become anything more than that. So that is just my thoughts on it. So when people were saying that he had the lock-in for this, he had the job in the bag, I was like, man, it is practice. He did those huge things last season during the regular season, and people were still not convinced about it. The Buccaneers were still eager to put Jameis Winston back in, despite Fitzpatrick putting up these huge numbers. That was just what was kind of going on in my head. So when people were really making a huge deal about these practice performances, saying that he is just some, you know, amazing quarterback and he's just out of this world and stuff, I understand, but you cannot fall in love with this guy. I'd be more tempted to do so if it was a regular season, but I would still be hesitant even then. So I was just really kind of annoyed with people buying in so much, especially during practice. And considering a lot of these practices, they didn't even have pads on yet, and they said he was a lock for the job. I just thought that was really reckless thing to say, especially when Josh Rosen is barely figuring things out in the NFL, let alone in this system. He is still a young guy, still trying to maneuver through the NFL. So Josh Rosen recently has started picking up his performances, is kind of bridging the gap in this competition that seemed to be such a lock-in. So I just think that when you're examining this quarterback situation in Miami, it is fluid. It is fluid whether Ryan Fitzpatrick is a starter day one, and it is fluid whether Josh Rosen is a starter day one. There is no guarantee that either of these guys become the lock-in concrete starter for the whole season. Josh Rosen could could be great, and it would be an amazing thing if he's able to pull off a really good bounce back sophomore season. But if he doesn't, you have a guy that can put up huge numbers like Fitzpatrick on the bench. That is a scary situation. On the other hand, you got Fitzpatrick, and if he gets a start day one, you know that he won't be able to sustain it. So the likelihood of Josh Rosen coming in at some point is very high. So using all of these very direct kind of words and kind of polarizing either one way or the other when it comes in regard to this quarterback situation in Miami, I just think it's a really reckless thing to do, because that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be fluid. Whoever's the starter, there's no guarantee that either of them keep this job for the whole season, like we saw with years for Tannehill. Tannehill didn't have that looming competition or that threat that either of these quarterbacks have this season, and that's what it's going to be. If Josh Rosen doesn't step up, you got Fitzpatrick. If Fitzpatrick has one of those slip-up games, Josh Rosen will come in, and that's how it's going to be for the Miami Dolphins. Now, we move on to the receiver group here for the Dolphins, and it's very interesting how much hype Preston Williams is getting, and I think it is very well deserved. In fact, I think he is really showing what he could be. He had all the tangibles there, just some off-the-field issues that really hurt his draft stock, but he is really apparently able to convert his college game into the NFL, and it's really translating well, considering that even top cornerback Xavien Howard is really applauding, saying that he could be a wide receiver one in this league. So that is a huge compliment coming from him. And considering who is the one in front of him, Devontae Parker, a guy who has kind of struggled to really take this role that was basically handed to him, then this door is really open for Preston Williams, and he has a good chance of doing it. Now, I don't want to completely discredit Devontae Parker, because he is another guy that has really been doing well so far in training camp. And something I said earlier was that it really looked like he put on some mass, and that is even more true so when I look at these more recent pictures of him. The guy looks a lot bigger, a little bit more Calvin Johnson-esque than before when he was kind of wiry. He looked had a really thin frame. He really looked like he put on some muscle, and if that is able to help him out in terms of winning these jump balls and becoming more aggressive, then I'm all for it. And I would love to see Devontae Parker kind of have a rebirth and kind of win over this fan base, since a lot of people really turned on him, and I can't blame a lot of them, honestly. So the main thing here is that I think Preston Williams, it's his job to lose in terms of making the roster. I think the Dolphins end up keeping six receivers, those being Kenny Stills, Albert Wilson, Devontae Parker, there you got three. Then you got Jakeem Grant, that's four. And then you got Preston Williams, who I think right now is a pretty good five. And then it's going to come down to six, and I think that's going to be between Bryce Butler and Allen Hurns. I really can't say for certain which one they would pick, because they're both very similar. They're both very consistent guys. Neither of them are the flashiest. Allen Hurns had moments in Jacksonville where he was really one of the most underrated receivers in the league. He is a Florida native, so I know the Dolphins love to keep their guys. But Bryce Butler really did so well last season when they brought him in, and he has also been really consistent in this training camp. So I really think this one is going to be kind of a toss-up. Are they going to side with someone who has been in the organization longer? Are they going to stick with that kind of Florida, Miami native? It's really hard to tell. I wouldn't be able to pick between the two just yet. It will really depend on preseason. Now, the next topic I want to get into is this running back holdout situation that we're seeing across the NFL right now. It's going on with the Dallas Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott, and it's also going on with the Los Angeles Chargers and their running back Melvin Gordon. So both very different situations, I think, but also kind of similar in some aspects in the fact that these are both elite running backs, but I think their value to each team is very different. And first, we're going to go over Ezekiel Elliott's situation. First and foremost, there are three guys that you have to know on this team that have to get paid. That's Dak Prescott, that's Amari Cooper, and that's Ezekiel Elliott. Paying all three of them is really costly. You're going to have to suffer at other points if you're giving all three of these guys superstar money. Dak Prescott is showing to be at least a solid quarterback. At the very least, he is solid. He is going to get paid. I think people really undervalue how hard it is just to get a solid quarterback. The Browns struggle with that for years. The Dolphins were in that purgatory with Tannehill for years. The Cowboys have a solid quarterback who is still very young in Dak Prescott. That is enough to get him paid more. They need to do so. Now, Amari Cooper, just personally, I think he has all the tangibles to be one of the top receivers in the league, and he was really a rebirth to this Cowboys offense. The second he got there, their offense was revitalized. They look completely different. This is a guy they need to re-sign. He is still very young. There are guys who barely entered the league last year that were his age. This is a guy I think the Cowboys need to get. So that means that the priority number three is Ezekiel Elliott. And I know the whole team runs through Zeke, but it's just the fact that he's the running back. The running back position is just so devalued because of the success across the board of running backs throughout the league. You saw with the Chiefs and Damian Williams. You saw Philip Lindsay last year. Even Alvin Kamara went off. Kareem Hunt. These aren't first-round guys like Ezekiel Elliott was. These are talent you could find deep in the draft. You know, you got Kalen Ballage, who is really shining for the Dolphins right now in training camp. And then you have Kenyon Drake. None of these guys are these premier, elite first overall, fourth overall pick like Zeke running backs. These are guys that you found in the draft and a position that relies so heavily on the offensive line play. And the Cowboys put so much of their money into the offensive line. I really feel like they think that it doesn't matter who they have at running back if they are putting money into the offensive line. And frankly, I think that's a good way to go about it. Jerry Jones kind of agreed and said that we don't need to have the rushing champion in order to win a Super Bowl. And everyone's bringing up that Emmitt Smith was a rushing champion every time they won the Super Bowl. This is a different NFL. This is a league where you can plug guys in and you have one guy dedicated for running on certain situations. Then you have another guy dedicated for running out of the shotgun and third and longs. And for you can have so much diversity and freshness when you're using these running backs by committee, which basically the entire NFL is doing at this point, and just putting it all in one running back's hands. If you're going to be throwing them that much money, you know, if they want to do it, I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think that's the smartest decision when you're looking at what kind of guys you're going to be paying. So I do think that Zeke is the number three priority in this Cowboys organization in terms of who they're going to pay on the offensive side. But I think that his likelihood of signing an extension with his team is significantly higher than Melvin Gordon. Now, we get into Melvin Gordon. Like I said, it's a similar case. This is a guy who has proven to be one of the elite running backs in the league. But the only thing working against him is his position. Melvin Gordon has done absolutely nothing wrong. He has been underrated. He has proven himself. But Austin Eckler, a guy who has shined in the moments where he was on the field, averaging over 5 yards a carry in both of his last two seasons. He has been great catching the ball as well. There is just no reason for them to dump the money if they don't see him as a necessity. So I think the likelihood of the Cowboys signing Zeke, that's a guy who can block well, he is good, the whole offense runs through him, that is way more likely than Melvin Gordon, because I think the Chargers offense doesn't change too much when you have Austin Eckler out there. Maybe it goes down just a tick or two, but I think Austin Eckler is a guy who could perform if he's given more touches, frankly. That's just the way I look at it. But I do think Melvin Gordon could find a great home with several teams, those being the Houston Texans. If he landed with Houston, that would be perfect for him. That would be perfect for the Texans offense. I think Lamar Miller is slowing down. His speed was one of his greatest strengths. He is not the same guy. I think Melvin Gordon would be great there. Tampa Bay has struggled for years finding that true running back. If they could get him, that would be huge considering the amount of firepower they have in their receiving corps. So those are teams that I could see investing in a running back. But I don't think the Chargers, if they already have their mind made up that they're not going to pay past a certain amount and Melvin Gordon's not willing to come close to it, then that's a done deal. I think the Cowboys situation, they're willing to bend a little more just because the whole offense runs through him. Whereas it seems more of a complimentary thing where it's more of a benefit to Melvin Gordon being such a highly used component of this Chargers offense. I just think it's two different situations, and I see a pretty likely scenario of Melvin Gordon not being a Charger when the season starts. That's just my gut instinct, and especially after Philip Rivers' comments saying that we're deep at the running back position. I mean, the whole organization is going to hear those words, and they, you know, chime pretty true, so that just says a lot. Now, that is just about how I'm going to end this episode. I do have one final thing to say, and that is get Zach Thomas into the Hall of Fame already. This is getting absolutely ridiculous. This man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and it doesn't make any sense when you see, you compare his numbers to Brian Urlacher, Zach Thomas deserves to be in the NFL, and it's a shame that it has taken this long. He needs to be in there. That's my final note. But as always, guys, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at ShadySteven. Please follow the podcast as well on Twitter. That is at Via The Source. And feel free to ask any questions regarding any teams around the NFL. I would love to cover them. Let me know what you guys think. And as always, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.